will call to order the Committee on Ethics for the Minnesota House of Representatives. This is Tuesday, June 30th, and the time is 1:02. My legislative assistant will please note the roll. A quorum is present. Alternates are also present today but will not participate in the questioning of the complaint, the respondent, or the witnesses. Please be sure your cell phones are on vibrate, and members of the legislature who participate today, that includes committee members and the complainants and the respondents, may request per diem and travel. And please see Mr. Craig Stone for those forms so that I can sign them in a timely fashion. Today we're present for a probable cause hearing that resulted from an ethics complaint signed by Representative Phyllis Kahn and by Representative John Purcell against Representative Dennis McNamara. The complaint was signed by Representative Kahn under oath attesting to the trust of the complaint and signed by Representative John Purcell under oath as a statement of support and testifying only to that which he heard. Any testimony given today will be taken under oath and will be administered by Committee Administrator Craig Stone. Counsel to the complainant and counsel to the respondent are already under oath as a result of their professional license and oath. Testifiers have announced themselves to Mr. Stone ahead of time, so those are the testifiers from whom we will hear. We will begin with an explanation of the procedure and an introduction by Nonpartisan House Research. And present today are Patrick McCormick and Joel Michael. And I believe, Mr. McCormick, you will begin. Please say your name for the record and begin.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Patrick McCormick. I'm here as staff to the Ethics Committee and staff to the Rules Committee. I am not an attorney. Joel Michael is here as counsel to the Ethics Committee and is an attorney. Also here is Jeff Diebel, who is counsel to the Ethics Committee. A little bit of overview of what we're doing today and what procedures we follow in an Ethics Committee meeting. There have not been a lot of Ethics Committee meetings, so it's good, I think, to review the operating procedure. The first thing to note is that we're here pursuant to Article 4, Section 7 of the Minnesota Constitution, which gives the legislature the ability to regulate disorderly conduct by members. We are empowered according to House Rule 6.10, which creates an ethics committee and creates a method for filing an ethics complaint. And we are using procedures which have been adopted by the Ethics Committee pursuant to Rule 6.10. I want to remind all members that this is a legislative hearing. This is not a court or a judicial or quasi-judicial proceeding. We do not follow court procedures. Therefore, all here must work through the chair and must seek recognition from the chair to make comments. Persons do not interrupt or make objections as the procedure unfolds. Instead, we take turns in presenting the case and in posing questions to the case. This hearing today is a probable cause hearing. It is not an investigation. The probable cause hearing is charged with determining whether the Ethics Committee would like to begin an investigation or seek alternative dispute procedures or choose to determine that there is not probable cause to go forward with an investigation. The procedures that we go forward with here require that the complainant states the complaint and supports the complaint. I want to note specifically that the complainant does not question the respondent. This is standard practice of the Minnesota House of Representatives. We have an early document from Deb McKnight, a former House research, laying out her research that this has been custom and usage. It has its roots in the belief that the complaint should be complete and stand as a sum and total, and that the purpose of a probable cause hearing is not to investigate, but to determine whether such is warranted at a later date. The agenda outlines a process for informing the committee. and allows members to ask questions at the appropriate time. In reviewing the agenda, I want to note that we begin with a presentation by the complainants, which lasts up to 30 minutes, and this is traditionally where they state their case uninterrupted without objections. Then we have questions of the complainants by the respondent for 15 minutes, questions of the complainants by the committee for up to 30 minutes. This is followed by a presentation by the respondent for a 30-minute period, questions of the respondent by the committee. Finally, we have closing statement of the complainants, closing statement of the respondents, and the meeting is closed to further testimony. At that point, the committee may determine to move to a discussion and debate and vote over probable cause, or may, by a majority vote of the committee, recess for an executive committee discussion of this issue. Joel may have additional comments here, and we're here to serve the committee.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Mr. Michael, please say your name for the record and begin.
Joel Michael with House Research. I don't have anything to add to Mr. McCormick's description of the process.
Thank you, Mr. Michael, and thank you again, Mr. McCormick. Remember, committee members, this hearing is for the complainants to convince us, the four of us, that Representative McNamara's conduct violated the spirit and letter of the ethical rules of the Minnesota House of Representatives, including but not limited to the Code of Conduct, which, as you know, was adopted by the Rules Committee in May of 2015, and was also adopted by the Ethics Committee. The complaint also states that Representative McNamara's conduct and threats violated the ethical obligation to, I quote, treat everyone with respect, fairness, and courtesy, unquote, nor can it be considered that he used the, quote, power and facilities of the House of Representatives only to advance the common good, unquote. The complaint ends with the request that Mr. McNamara be properly reprimanded and disciplined. Will the complainants please take your seats at the testifying table, say your name for the record, and prepare for administration of the oath by Mr. Stone. And counsel, if you would like to introduce yourself first, that would be fine, because you do not have to take the oath.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Aviva Breen, and I'm representing Representative Kahn.
Representative Kahn?
Okay.
Please say your name for the record, and then Mr. Stone will administer the
oath.
Can I use to a mic? Representative Kahn, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth to the Ethics Committee?
Yes, I do.
And Representative Purcell, please say your name for the record, and we will administer the oath, at least Mr. Stone will.
Representative John Purcell.
And Representative Purcell, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth to the Ethics Committee?
I do.
Thank you, complainants. And will you begin your testimony, please? Counsel, are you first?
Madam Chair, I don't have any opening statement. I wanted to start with Representative Kahn.
Thank you, counsel. Representative Kahn, please begin.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, you do have a copy of the ethics complaint in your folders. I don't know if you want me, if requested, I can read through the whole thing, but I think that you can also read it yourself, and I'll certainly answer any questions. But I think I would like to just point out a few high points of it, which is the date in question, and I think you have a timeline of the whole set of events that occurred leading up to this. But on Saturday, May 16, Representative McNamara conducted himself in a way that violates the spirit and the letter of Rule 610 of the Permanent House Rules, which is the rules governing ethical conduct. And Rule 610 provides in part that a complaint may be brought about conduct by a member that violates a rule or administrative policy of the House that violates the accepted norms of house behavior and that betrays the public trust or that tends to bring the house into honor or disrepute. And the major one we're concentrating, I think, is violates the accepted norms of house behavior. Also, in the administrative policies of the house, if you look on the second page of the complaint, one of the things that we have is in the second one is the one at the bottom of the P: treat everyone with respect, fairness, and courtesy, and exercise sound judgment. Then continuing on the next page, be respectful of the House of Representatives as a fundamental institution of civil government, and use the power and facilities of the House of Representatives only to advance the common good. And so at roughly 3 p.m. in Representative Denny McNamara's office, he repeatedly screamed at myself and Mr. Brian Rice, who is a lobbyist for the Minneapolis Park Board. And, you know, I think there's a lot of information in here about the incident, about what provoked the discussion. I actually think that's kind of irrelevant to the complaint. We just put it in as background information. But what specific was the conduct of the behavior of Representative McNamara? And he wanted to discuss this provision that dealt with the Minneapolis Park Board with Mr. Rice. And we both went to Representative McNamara's office to discuss the provision in the bill and dispel the accusation that the Park Board's attorney representative was attempting to bully Representative McNamara. He began the discussion in an angry manner and immediately shifted the topic to the accusation, claiming that I had told him about the alleged threat to interfere with the McNamara nursery. I stated that I had never heard anyone threaten his family business, and Representative McNamara had only told me that his family's company was not receiving the business he had in prior years. And he claimed he had a recording to prove it, which he never played. And so when I heard the statement, I had immediately gone to Mr. Rice as a representative of the Park Board. And, you know, it's hard to put this in writing, but he was obviously, when I mentioned it to him, he was totally bewildered and knew nothing about it. And he then said that we had to agree to the provisions in the Omnibus Environment Bill where he would expose the entire matter. And he became angrier as discussions shifted to his involvement in his family nursery. And one of the things that we pointed out was in his statement of economic interest, he had pointed out that he listed himself as the owner and the partner of Hoffman and McNamara LLP. At that point, he sort of accused us of snooping around his family business, which I don't understand. If something's public information on your economic interest form, knowing it is hardly snooping around. And he then he then became increasingly agitated and accused us of being deceitful and conniving. He became red in the face, rose to his face, became screaming for us to get out of his office, and he continued to yell as he slammed the door as they exited. As we pointed out, his yelling was so loud it could be heard on the other side of the building by legislative assistant Travis Rice. I think it's 146 feet away as we measured it, and Representative Purcell will speak for himself. And in the 43 years of serving in the legislature, I have never felt so threatened and domineered by a fellow legislature. And as we said, we feel that this violated the spirit and letter of the ethical rules of the Minnesota House of Representatives. And I think that's all I have to say, unless... Yes, we also, as presented in this, on in the timeline, and I think there's even a photograph, which was we didn't take, it was taken by the Pioneer Press, of me speaking to Speaker Doubt on the last day of the session, showing him a preliminary draft of the complaint and saying, you know, thinking that he should know about it. And if he asked me if I had any suggestions. I asked him if he had any suggestions. Conversation sort of ended then. I think I called him two times before filing the ethical Speaker Doubt, two times before filing the complaint, and never received an answer from him at that time.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. Counsel, any additions?
No, Madam Chair.
Representative Purcell. Please say your name for the record again.
Yeah,
again.
John Purcell. Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members. As the, I don't have the complaint in front of me, but as it says in there, I attested to what I heard, and I did hear some very loud shouting. I was in my office around the corner from Representative McNamara's and his office, and had my door shut. And as I testified, I heard some loud shouting, and I never heard words like that in the state office building in the time I've been here. I have not ever heard that at that volume, and those words get out of here. I thought I was coming out to break up a fight. That's what I attested to, and that's exactly what I thought. It's just unfortunate, but that's my testimony.
Thank you, Representative Purcell. Anything else from the complainants?
I don't think so.
Okay, then we'll move to respondents. You have 15 minutes or up to 15 minutes to question the complainants. So if you would stay at the testifying table, Representative Purcell. And please introduce yourself, Mr. LeBeau, and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Reed LeBeau, counsel for Representative Dennis McNamara. Madam Chair, as an initial matter, I wanted to raise the point that we believe that this complaint can be disposed with presumptively because since 1996, going back through ethical complaints that have been filed before, the rule requires that it be sworn to by two members of the House of Representatives. Representative Purcell, and I'm happy to go into questions with him, Representative Purcell in the complaint, just on the papers, has only testified to what he heard. He's not specific to hearing anyone's voice. He's not specific as to what was yelled. He just basically has testified to hearing loud noises. This is insufficient to be able to sustain a complaint to be this far along in the process. A member signing the complaint is required to have knowledge of the entirety of the complaint, and that is what has been the standard when complaints have come to the Ethics Board about as far back as we can find. So I would raise that point now. I don't know how the chair would like to deal with that, but that would be sort of an initial matter for the committee to consider.
Thank you, Mr. LeBeau, and we'll just keep it in the back of our minds or in the front of our minds. Members, please proceed.
Thank you. Madam Chair, would you like me to go through the chair with each of my questions, or can
no.
I have the liberty
to? No, you may directly address the complaints.
Thank you. Representative Kahn, is the timeline that you released before the committee began, is this now incorporated into your complaint?
Yes, I believe so.
Representative Kahn, you state in your complaint that on May 16th, you were informed of the threats against Representative McNamara's family business. Is that correct?
When I reiterated it now, I might have said that's when I found out about it, but I certainly, that conversation occurred, I think, 6 weeks earlier or so.
But
and that was the and that was the point when I went to the park board representatives and said, "Is there any truth to this?"
Thank you, Representative Kahn. But in your complaint, you say, beginning on the top of page 2, and I can just read it, Representative Kahn stated that she had not heard anyone threaten his family's business. Is that referring to Representative McNamara's family's business?
Yes.
And your testimony now is that, according to your timeline, that he actually called you on April 10th, and it was at that time that you first learned about the threats against his family's business. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And isn't it true, Representative Kahn, that on April 10th, Representative McNamara informed you that it was a member of your caucus who informed him that his son's business had been threatened by a park board lobbyist?
I'm sorry, I don't recall that. I only recall the conversation afterwards.
But you do recall that a conversation occurred on the 10th?
Yes.
And it's your testimony now, according to the timeline, that there were calls on April 10th, meaning multiple calls that occurred?
I think going back and forth, yes.
But you don't recall the nature of those calls?
No. I'm just about this issue, the issue of the item in the bill and the issue of were there threats against his family's business.
Thank you. Representative Kahn, it's true that you didn't support repealing the park board funding provision that is at issue in this, that is sort of in the background of this complaint.
Yes.
And Representative Kahn, it's true that you serve on the Ways and Means Committee, correct?
Yes.
You state in the complaint that earlier in May, a provision was included, I believe it's the 4th paragraph of the complaint. In early May, Representative McNamara included a provision in his omnibus environment bill that changed the law that you and Mr. Rice worked on in the late 1980s, in the 1980s. To dedicate interest earnings, and so on and so forth, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
But now, according to your timeline, you recognize that legislation, standalone piece of legislation to that effect, was actually introduced on February 2nd, correct?
Yes.
But in your complaint, you suggest that it didn't appear until early May, and that it was before that incident that Representative McNamara made the comment to you about his about a family business, quote, receiving less business from the Minneapolis Park Board.
Well, Mr. Madam Chairman, Mr. LeBeau, these are two different issues. One of the things is, and I know you're familiar with House procedures and so forth, is that bills are introduced all the time, and you don't usually have to take them seriously they're incorporated in an omnibus bill and you see that they're moving forward or that you see that there's some action in moving forward in both houses on this issue.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I appreciate that, but that's not the question. The question is that this bill is a standalone provision. Whether it was moving or not, it was actually introduced at the beginning of February of this this calendar year, correct?
Yes, I assume so, as you said it. Matter of fact.
And isn't it further true that this issue of the park board funding actually came before the Ways and Means Committee on April 21st?
I assume that if that's when the omnibus environment bill was there, that yes, it did.
But Representative Kahn, you state in your complaint that 6 weeks prior to, let's say, May 16th, Representative McNamara made a comment to you that his family was receiving less business from the park board. And then after that, in early May, this provision turned up. You do understand, Representative Kahn, that creates the insinuation that it was Representative McNamara who was not or at least asking for a better deal or doing something inappropriate.
I'm sorry, I don't understand that question. What specifically, as I understand it, Representative McNamara said that the park board was retaliating on his family's business. The person I usually ask about park board questions is Mr. Rice. I immediately asked him about it, and he was totally mystified. He had, you know, lobbyists at the legislature don't necessarily get into every little bit of detail of what's going on. I think one of the things that we've also presented as evidence is two park board contracts with his family business. So I just sort of dismissed it in a sense that that the park board didn't seem to have any knowledge of.
What I would suggest, Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, is that there's an inconsistency between the timeline that you've just provided and the timeline that's laid out in the complaint that you previously filed. Simply, they don't add up. You talk about an incident occurring 6 weeks prior to May when the provision in the bill was released in the Omnibus Environment Bill, suggesting that Representative McNamara had done something inappropriate and that that was the impetus for the meeting on May 16th. It's when the Omnibus Environment Bill came to the Ways and Means Committee on April 21st, Representative Kahn, when the Omnibus Environment Bill came to the Ways and Means Committee on April 21st, you didn't raise the issue of the conversation that you claim to have had with Representative McNamara 6 weeks prior.
I didn't think it was relevant to the provision in the bill.
You didn't make any statements in the committee about the conversation that you had with Representative McNamara.
Again, I didn't think it was relevant. I essentially dismissed the conversation on the grounds that the park board representative had told me that there were no attempts to retaliate against his family, and that there were no. And I think showing the contracts that we've given has shown that his family has received continuing contracts this year from the Minneapolis Park Board.
Representative Kahn, I want to turn to the events of May 16th. Isn't it true that in the meeting on May 16th, you specifically asked Representative McNamara why his names were on the why his name was on the trucks?
I don't recall.
Representative Kahn,
well might have.
Representative Kahn, you understand the difference between a partnership and a company, don't you?
No. When two names look the same, they look the same to me.
Madam Chair, if I might, I'd like to show Representative Kahn two documents that I've filed that are labeled 001 and 003. I don't know, Representative Kahn, if you have a copy of those.
I have it somewhere here.
You do?
But it'll take me a few minutes.
Okay, that's just fine.
Tell me what page it's.
As long as it's not eating into my 15
Please
minutes.
Proceed, Mr. LeBeau.
Why don't you just
No.
This one.
Yeah, okay.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. LeBeau, excuse me, but we are not timing this little finding of information, so
thank you.
Please know that, and also to the complainants.
Representative Kahn, on the document labeled 001, can you read the name of the business listed on the top?
Okay. Yes, Hoffman and McNamara, LLP.
And can you read the name on the top of the business filing labeled 003?
Hoffman and McNamara Company.
And you understand that those names are, although similar, they are different.
Um, I understand that they're similar. I certainly don't understand what the difference is.
Not asking as to your level of knowledge of the difference, Representative Kahn. It's just that you recognize that they're not absolutely identical.
Yes.
And when you made the accusation, as you may recall, of why Representative McNamara's name was on the trucks, you've stated publicly, I believe as recently as this morning, I heard you on the radio, that you thought the names were the same.
I certainly think there's enough similarity between them to the person who was not a business structure expert by myself. They certainly look awfully alike.
But wouldn't you agree that had you investigated further, you would have found out that they are different?
Possibly.
Isn't it reasonable, Representative Kahn, to assume that before you're going to make an accusation against a member of the legislature, you would do that level of investigation to determine what the difference would be?
I'm sorry. The accusation is not about the background material. The accusation I have made is the treatment.
Madam Chair, that's not the question, Representative Kahn.
Mr. Lebeau, please proceed.
Madam Chair, thank you. Representative Kahn, the question is, before a statement was made, a statement similar to why is your name on the trucks, isn't it reasonable to have done more investigation to determine if they were in fact the same or not?
That sounds like it's a question, not a statement.
It is a question to you, Representative.
No, I mean what I said was a question, not a statement. I said, why is your name on the truck? That's not a statement. That's a question in my interpretation.
Wouldn't you agree that it's reasonable before someone asks questions like that to do further investigation to determine if, in fact, the basis for your question is correct?
No, the purpose of asking a question is to obtain information. As I've said, I am not an expert on business structure. I have never run for the legislature with that as one of my qualifications.
And you didn't investigate any further to determine if there was a difference between those two business entities. Isn't that true?
No.
In the meeting on May 16th, did Representative McNamara say, and I'll quote, "Representative Kahn, get out."
He was facing two of... No.
Madam Chair, thank you. Representative Kahn, did Representative McNamara in this meeting on May 16th say, did he call you by your common name? Phyllis, get out.
I certainly don't remember.
Mr. Lebeau, 1 minute remaining.
Representative Kahn, you say that this is the worst you've ever been treated as a member, and I'm paraphrasing. Did you rise to a point of personal privilege at any point in regular or special session after this event occurred?
I would think a point of personal privilege would mean something that had happened in an official legislative session. The answer simply is no.
I have no further questions, Madam Chair. Of Representative Kahn.
Thank you.
Just a few
Thank
of
you,
Representative Purcell.
You're out of time. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
It's inclusive, so
that's okay.
Up to
I think
15
we made the point.
To ask both. Thank you. Okay, committee, now we have our chance to ask the complainant, and we have up to 30 minutes. And members, I will begin. Representative Kahn, how do you define threatened, Representative Kahn, when you note threatened in here? How do you define that, Representative Kahn?
Feeling scared, just feeling very edgy, worrying about what was the next step.
Representative Kahn, you mean physically?
Yes. Loud yelling is often, in my experience, can be accompanied by physical violence. Was there any? No. But that's what threatened means.
So in your long career as an esteemed legislator, in the past, have you observed or heard about any legislators yelling perhaps in a conference committee, at conferees, perhaps a former speaker? Are you aware of any of that?
Not to this extent, no.
Okay. I believe it has occurred, members. I have evidence that Representative Irv Anderson may have walked or did walk into a conference committee and threaten a certain extent. Okay. Representative Kahn, as legislators, can we tell anyone to leave our office at any time?
Certainly.
And was that what Representative McNamara asked you to do, to leave the office?
Well, I have been brought up to believe that there are different ways of asking people. And yelling in an extremely threatening manner is not what my parents would have taught me is an acceptable manner of asking someone to leave the room.
So, Representative Kahn, you noted in your complaint that this was domineering nature of Representative McNamara. Would it have just been just as domineering had he forced you to stay in the office to further listen to the debate or the discussion? Would you have felt that was domineering or threatening as well?
I don't think I understand that question. I don't think there's any way that could have happened. I don't know if the implication is that telling me to get out was a kindness to me in a very loud voice. Obviously no one can force anyone to stay in a certain place.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. I just wanted to contrast the being asked to leave with what if you were forced to stay to listen further. Representative Kahn, do you think the respondent also felt threatened?
You'll have to ask the respondent.
No, I'm asking you, Representative Kahn. Do you think, because this is a matter of your feeling threatened, so do you think he felt threatened by anything that was said during this discussion that was going on?
I absolutely can't answer that question.
Members, do you have other questions? Representative
yes,
Dean, please.
I do. Madam Chair, so I was thinking back to the whole notion of the difference between a LLP and a company on a sign, and do you know if an LLP is a type of a company?
Representative Kahn.
The answer is no, I would assume.
You don't know.
Yes.
Representative Dean.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And this next question is to Representative Purcells. You had mentioned that you had heard some words spoken, and you didn't say what they were. Could you tell us what you heard spoken? And then I would ask you, from your best ability on that day, if you could identify whose that voice may have been that you heard speaking that.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought I said it when I first sat down here. The words were "get out of here" and twice. And they were screamed, and I did not know who had yelled those words. I did not. I've been advised that based on the certified complaint that it was Representative McNamara, I guess I don't know if there's going to be any more. I got a couple other things I'd like to say, but if I'm out of line, why, you got to tell me, Madam Chair. But
please proceed.
Because I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't think this was something that needed attention. And when I walked out of my office and I looked Phyllis Kahn in the eye, she was scared. I've been involved in some situations where women have had domestic violence put upon them. A woman gets a look in her eyes. I reckon a man does too. She was scared, and I asked her what had happened. And she told me that she just got yelled at by Representative, and I heard the yelling, "Get out of here." I'm not going to repeat it because it sounded like a Confederate battle cry. It's what it sounded like. It wasn't pretty.
Representative Dean, did you have further questions? Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kahn, you had indicated that a lot of this complaint is the information here is background information or information that really didn't pertain to the complaint, and yet about 50% of the complaint is in regards to business operations and to the park board. I'm very, very curious then as to why that information was actually included in the complaint, if that really didn't have a bearing on what this complaint is actually about.
Representative Kahn.
Well, I just thought that the complaint needed to give some background information as to what the issue was about. But it is not. The complaint is specifically not about business conduct between Representative McNamara and the Minneapolis Park Board. The complaint is about his treatment of a fellow legislator in the House office space.
Madam Chair.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Kahn. If that is indeed the complaint, then in regards to our length of service here, I guess I'd have to say in my short time period of 8 years, I can go back to a number of times. In fact, I believe, Representative Kahn, you would have been on the House floor just at the end of this last session. And the way that the House ended and the yelling and the screaming, and I think that was rather mild if we go back to 2010 when Speaker Kelleher was in the rostrum and we ended that debate. And I don't know if I've heard a louder volume in the House chambers with the screaming and yelling. So I'm when you were asked about have you ever been in a situation that you know that any yelling has occurred or conduct has occurred that is rather threatening, I guess I would ask for your opinion on how that relates to a situation, whether it's in our offices or whether on the House floor.
Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman and Mr. Kelly, you know, one of the things is that I don't really feel scared on the House floor. There are a lot of security people there. There are a lot of people around you. It's very different when you're in a private office. No, I don't want to say that may not have been inappropriate, but to my mind, it was not scary. And I think even directed at me, if it was directed at the speaker and so forth, I don't think I would have found it scary either.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then Representative Kahn, I believe the your complaint states that it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon here in the state office building. Were there any other people in the state office building at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Representative Kahn.
Not in Representative McNamara's office. Representative Dennis Smith was there, and one of the things I didn't want to put all of the one of the things is when we came out of that office, I believe I told Representative Smith that I found that was inappropriate and scary, and I felt totally threatened by that.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative Kahn, I'm just curious then, did you feel threatened because no one else was around, or that you felt that no one would be able to come to your aid if you were really threatened? What was the actual threat then to you?
Representative Kahn.
The threat was the tone of the voice and the loudness of the voice and what seemed to be the malice behind it.
Representative Kelly.
Madam Chair, if I could just ask one question of Representative Purcell.
Please.
Representative Purcell, you had stated that you heard from behind your door the yelling of get out, and you didn't know who was yelling that. Then how did you know who the yelling was directed at?
Representative Ponson.
And just one other item, Madam Chair. And then you also had indicated that someone advised you who that all was. Who advised you then?
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what I heard was get out of here, very loud volume, twice. And I came out of my office, and Representative Kahn was walking by my office, going back toward her office, I presume. And I asked her what was going on. I thought I was coming out, somebody was going at it. That's exactly what it sounded like. And so I asked Representative what's going on, and she said, I just got yelled at, Representative McNamara.
Well, Madam Chair.
Representative Kelly.
Madam Chair and Representative Purcell, then really all of your testimony is based on what Representative Kahn told you what had happened.
Representative Purcell.
Madam Chair, absolutely.
Thank you.
Representative Purcell, did anyone else come out of an office and hear any of this that you noticed?
What? Madam Chair, the gentleman that was in the meeting, Rice, I think that's his name, was with Representative Kahn, and he attested to what Representative Kahn told me as they walked by, and he looked a little startled too, to be honest with you, but startled as opposed to scared. It was not pleasant.
So, Representative Purcell, you saw no other members, though, of the legislature in your area. I don't know where your office is, so.
No, I don't. I would recall being pretty focused on what I heard. The adrenaline was pumping pretty good.
Members, other questions? Representative Dean.
If I could just follow up, Madam Chair. So Representative Purcell, I mean, you speak about the loudness of this. I mean, have you ever heard that loud of voices in the state office building before?
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I thought I said this earlier, Representative Dean, but I have never heard that volume in that tenor, in that tone. We hear folks being raucous in their reference to the House floor. Yeah, I heard that. I mean, you know, who feels afraid on the House floor? If you do, you know, you better not be there, I reckon. But this was different than anything I've heard in my few years here.
Representative Dean.
And Madam Chair, you had referenced that it was like a Confederate battle cry. I'm not familiar with what that is. Could you maybe be a little bit more descriptive on what that is?
Representative Purcell.
Thank
you. Not sure this is relevant, but.
When I first talked about this, it's a scream. And it was a scream. And it was got some high pitch to it.
Any further questions? Representative Kahn, have you ever tried to repeal the law of another legislator?
Excuse me?
Have you ever tried to repeal a standing law that another legislator has enacted? For example, I notice in your complaint that you were or wanted to discuss the 1980s provision to dedicate interest earnings from the Met Council Bond Fund to North Mississippi Regional Park. And apparently that was included in the Omnibus Environment Bill. So have you, as a legislator, ever tried to repeal someone else's law over your years of service? Because I'm reading into this perhaps that you were upset by that because you write in your complaint, or whomever wrote this, this provision became contentious on the House floor in early May of this year, and again during the conference committee deliberations. Well, so, Representative Kahn, have you tried to repeal someone's law?
I have obviously put in lots of amendments. I've authored lots of laws, and everything that I don't know about repeal, but everything that does, whenever you do that, it changes some law that someone else did. I just attempted this year unsuccessfully to change the drinking age. That was a law that someone did that I had voted against in the past. And so, yes, probably multiple times a session.
But Representative Kahn, this seems to have been something that bothered you greatly, or to a certain extent, during the debate on the House floor. This reference to the 1980 law?
There were actually several legislators who spoke strongly about this. One of the issues about why that had been put in there is that we were dealing with the proportion of Minneapolis, and now it moves on to the nearby suburbs, which has no regional park this is the only regional park in the area, as opposed to places like South Minneapolis, which has a whole set of regional parks, and also has a deprived population, a population that doesn't have access to the natural resources in regional parks. So it was a specific reason for putting that in, which has not disappeared. In fact, it's probably spread further, because the people who were also upset were people like Representative Hillstrom and Representative Portman and so forth, because it also was affecting their area, all of which have minority populations and have populations that have been deprived of very good park experiences. So it was a public policy. It was not, I might also point out, this is not in my legislative district. It's just an area of the city that I'm concerned with because of the lack of access to good park experience of a deprived population.
So, Representative Kahn, though, you went to Representative McNamara's office to discuss this provision according to the complaint?
No, I went there because Representative McNamara asked me to come there. Me and Mr. Rice.
Well, Representative Kahn, if you examine your complaint in paragraph 5, Representative Kahn accompanied Mr. Rice to Representative McNamara's office with the intention of discussing the provision in the bill, and then it adds, and dispelling the accusation. But the first part of the clause is the intention of discussing the provision. So I'm wondering to what extent then was that a part of the discussion that has come about in your complaint? If you follow the flow of the complaint, Representative Kahn, in the paragraph preceding it.
The provision in the bill was the part that move this money away from the North Mississippi Regional Park. And I had always believed there was very good reasons for having that money specifically there, and because for a specific very good public purpose, i.e. making sure that a population that had been deprived of the kind of good experience that most of us take for granted, the ability to go to observe nature and participate in nature was lacking for the population in that area. And if you note in the last paragraph on that page, it said that the discussion began in an angry manner and immediately shifted the topic to the accusation.
Representative Kahn, did the discussion begin, though, in regard to the Met Council bond fund earnings, interest earnings? Did it begin with that?
Well, only
Representative
only
Kahn.
That was the provision that was in the bill.
Any other questions from members?
I think I used the word immediately in that paragraph, and I think that that's correct.
Committee members, we do have a few minutes remaining. If you have any questions, a little less than three, but thank you, Representative Kahn. Thank you, Representative Purcell. Respondents, we'll move on to you. You have up to 30 minutes to present, so please take your seats at the testifying table. And I believe that would be Representative McNamara until his witnesses are called. And Representative McNamara, please prepare for the oath of office, or the oath of the oath here.
Madam Chair, I wonder if I might, in
Mr. LeBeau,
the interest of time, would the committee be amenable if I called everybody up at once and they got sworn in, and I could just continue on with the question?
That would be fine. Thank you. Yes. Witnesses, please come forward. And Mr. Stone could administer the oath at the same time for all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the committee. Please say your name for the record, and then Mr. Stone will administer the oath. Start with you, Representative McNamara. Please say your name for the record.
Representative Houseman. Okay. Are we by our title or first and last?
Yeah, that's fine. Representative McNamara.
Representative Jenny McNamara.
And?
Representative Dennis Smith.
And please answer to the oath.
I'll go left to right. Representative Smith? Representative Smith?
Yes.
Do you swear to or affirm to tell the truth to the Ethics Committee?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Representative McNamara? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth to the Ethics Committee?
I do.
Representative Houseman? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth to the Ethics Committee?
I do.
Please proceed, Mr. LeBeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McNamara, what is the name of the landscape company that your son owns?
Hoffman & McNamara Company, Incorporated.
And do you own any part of that company?
No.
Madam Chair, with permission, I show Representative McNamara what's labeled 001 and 002 for my file. I'm sorry, 003.
Please proceed.
Representative McNamara, can you describe what these documents are?
The first one is the business Secretary of State's business records for Hoffman & McNamara Company. I believe you called that document one. The second one is Hoffman & McNamara Limited Liability Partnership, abbreviated by the common capital letters L, P, all capitalized.
And what is Hoffman & McNamara LLP?
Limited Liability Partnership, the real estate business.
And is there also a Hoffman & McNamara, Inc.?
Hoffman & McNamara, Inc. is a non-active corporation fully owned by my son, Michael John McNamara.
And what's the difference between the company and the LLP?
Hoffman & McNamara Company is an operating landscape and nursery business. Hoffman & McNamara Partnership is a partnership owned 50% by my business partner, Gary Hoffman. Since 1974, and 50% by myself, and under common law in Minnesota, our wives have an interest in that partnership.
And Representative McNamara, does the LLP have any contract with the Minneapolis Park Board?
No.
Again, with permission, Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, the document labeled 005 and 006.
Yes.
Can you describe what that document is?
I think it's the 2014. It is. It's the 2014 public disclosure form that we filed with the Campaign Finance Board. It lists my interests. The first line is that I am an owner of Hoffman & McNamara Partnership, PTSH, and that I'm a partner.
Thank you.
And those are the two X's. Check. None of the other X's of director, officer, member, employer, employee are checked.
Representative McNamara, is the partnership that's listed there the LLP that you just previously described?
Yes. I'm sorry. Mr. LeBeau, Madam Chair, do you want us to go through you?
It's up to you, Mr. LeBeau. You know you have only so much time.
Yeah, right.
So.
Okay. Mr. LeBeau, it says the Hoffman & McNamara LLP.
Okay. Thank you. And Representative McNamara, jumping to the events of April 10th, 2015, where were you on that day?
We had set on April 10th. I was in my office, I believe.
Let me jump back to April 9th. I'm sorry.
April 9th, we had session, and Representative Houseman came to me and asked to talk to me, and she wanted to go back in the retiring room.
And what did she tell you?
She told me that a lobbyist had come and said that my son's landscape and nursery business may not sell as many trees to the park board if I don't back down on supporting the legislation that Representative Houseman and Senator Scalzi had introduced, and she said a lobbyist had told that. At that time, I thought Representative Hausman had heard it secondhand. I come later to find out that the lobbyist actually talked to Representative Hausman directly.
And at that time on April 10th, were you informed exactly who that lobbyist was?
No.
And are you aware, were you aware at that time of who represented the Minneapolis Park Board?
Mr. LeBeau, I believe that at that time I thought there was at least four lobbyists with the Minneapolis Park Board. Mr. Rice, Mrs. Campbell, I believe she's a Mrs., I don't know for sure, Mr. Workman, and Mr. Peterson.
And I
only know of those four. There may be more.
And I just refer the committee to document 008. And Representative McNamara, after you obtained this information, what did you do next?
Actually, the conversation was very short with Representative Hausman. I began to shake and was troubled and thought, oh, my God, what is going on here? I left the Capitol. I called my son, Michael, the owner of Hoffman and McNamara Company, and he did reiterate to me that he had a current contract with the Park Board. I said, do you have any reason to believe that that contract is jeopardized, or are they acting differently? He said, Dad, everything will be okay. I don't have any reason to believe I'm going to be treated differently, and I'll let you know if I do. I said, Mike, you need to let me know, because this is a very serious threat, and it's been against my family, and I won't stand for it.
Representative McNamara, did you talk to anybody else about this issue?
Yes, I went to the Speaker's office and talked to Mr. Patrick.
And what did he advise you?
I asked him if it'd be okay if I had a conversation with my committee administrator. He said, I think that would be fine. I said, I think I should call Representative Kahn and see what's going on.
Why did you think to call Representative Kahn?
I knew she was interested in the legislation and didn't support the bill to repeal the earmark for the Park Board.
And did you call or contact Representative Kahn?
Yes, I asked her L.A. for her cell phone. She gave it to me. I called, and there was no answer. It doesn't take voicemails, but Representative Kahn called me right back. Real shortly, I said, Representative Kahn, are you aware that a Park Board lobbyist has had a conversation about my son's business? And she said, no. I said, Representative Kahn, a Park Board lobbyist came to a legislator, a colleague of yours, and said, my son may not sell as many trees to the Park Board if I continue to pursue the legislation. Representative Kahn's answer was, maybe I did hear something. I need to call Brian Rice. I'll call you back. I need to let you know, Mr. LeBeau, I had a staff person listening to that conversation because I was troubled by what was going on, so I have a witness to the conversation.
And Representative McNamara, what is labeled 007 and for the committee, is this the phone log of the calls that you had with Representative Kahn on April the 10th?
Mr. LeBeau, I've reviewed it. We've had four phone calls between us. Two of them were unanswered, and yes, the first one was 6 minutes. Representative Kahn called me back about 15 minutes later, actually 21 minutes later, I see here. I was not available. I called her back 45 minutes later. We had a very short conversation. She said, I guess I was wrong. I don't recollect the conversation. I hung up.
After April 10th, Representative McNamara, did anyone else raise this issue with you?
Representative Hillstrom approached me in the retiring room and asked me if I was serious about pursuing Representative Hausman's and others' legislation, which then I was a co-author of. I said, yes, I think that earmark is wrong. I might have made a comment about if you were going to do an earmark, how come the Rondo Park in St. Paul's not getting 27 years and $14 million? She said, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop you. I said, I strongly recommend if you don't agree with my policy that you do what you can to get what you want done. Clearly, I intended, and I believe Representative Hillstrom was only going to do it legitimate and pursue it. She said, well, I'm going to go to the governor. I said, I encourage you to go to the governor. If you believe it's the right thing, you should pursue that. And I believe that's what we should do here. We should pursue legislation.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. Did you have any other conversations with Representative Hillstrom concerning this issue?
Yes, I had a very troubling conversation with her on the morning of May 16th. I heard she wanted to talk to me. I went to her office, and she said, Representative McNamara, your story about a lobbyist coming to Representative, then I found out later it was Representative Hausman. I didn't know who it was. Or I didn't identify Representative Hausman. I'm sorry. I knew Representative Hausman had told me, but I didn't know the Park Board lobbyist had gone directly to her. She said, actually, the story is, Representative McNamara, that you told the Park Board they need to sell more trees to your son. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious, Representative Hillstrom, we need to get Thiessen here right now. This has gone off the deep end. What's going on? I said, I've got phone records that show this didn't start in May. I have had a conversation with Representative Kahn from April 10th. And I said, I'm going to get Thiessen right now. I walked out, and Minority Leader Thiessen was standing outside the hallway.
And what did you tell both of them?
We came into the legislature together 13 years ago, Paul. You know I didn't do this. This is a lie. This is a witch hunt. And you need to deal with it.
Representative McNamara, let me take you to the afternoon of May 16th. What occurred at or about noon on May 16th?
Well, based on the conversation in Representative Hillstrom's office, I ran into Mr. Rice outside the chamber. I said, you need to come to my office, and you should bring Representative Kahn with you.
And what was the point of meeting in your office?
Mr. LeBeau, they had said I went to Phyllis Kahn and said they should sell more trees to my son. My goodness gracious, can you imagine doing that? It's a low bid, competitive bid, publicly open bid. I was being accused of being, I can't imagine.
Representative McNamara, let's talk about the meeting that occurred on May 16th. Can you tell the committee, how was everybody situated in your office?
Well, Mr. LeBeau, I asked Representative Smith to come because based on everything that was going on, I wanted to have somebody there to witness what was going on. And so I was in my chair. We have a table about this big around in my office. Representative Smith was over here. I was here. Representative Kahn was on the far side from me, and Mr. Rice was here.
And when the meeting began, were you asked any questions by Mr. Rice or Representative Kahn?
You know, the meeting started with a discussion, and I clarified the conversations really were entirely exclusive between Mr. Rice and myself. My conversations were with Mr. Rice all the time. I said, Brian, you know I don't own the landscape company. Hoff and I refer to my business partner, Gary Hoffman, as Hoff. Hoff and I sold it to my son, Michael McNamara, in 2004. He paid us off in 2011. He said, yeah, I know, Hoffman and McNamara. I've been the Park Board attorney for 3 decades, I think he said. Hoffman and McNamara have a good relationship with the Park Board. They supply good trees to the Park Board, and have done good work building parks for them. I said, oh, okay. So, I mean, clearly Mr. Rice had done a fair amount of investigation into Hoffman and McNamara company and knew about them.
Did he say anything else to you in this meeting?
Well, the next part of the conversation I remember is Representative Kahn saying, why is your name on the trucks? I was in my chair and I just backed up and I thought, oh my God, where's this witch hunt gone? And I thought, what am I going to do? And Representative Smith asked Representative Kahn a question about, I believe he said, Representative Kahn, can you elaborate?
Can you speak in the microphone?
I'm sorry. Representative Smith then asked, because I did literally back up my chair. I thought, oh, my God, what's going on?
Thank you.
So Representative Smith asked Representative Kahn to elaborate, and all there was mumbling.
Did Mr. Rice ask you anything further?
Mr. Rice then, I'm not sure, Mr. Rice may have asked, why is your name on the trucks, too? And I thought, oh, my God, the trucks say Hoffman and McNamara. Hoff's son Pete works there now. My son Brian works there, and Mike works there. What are they doing? Are they going after them? So then Mr. Rice asked, why are you hiding that you're the president of Hoffman and McNamara?
And how did you respond to that?
I may have stood up at that point. I don't remember. But I said, oh my goodness, or oh my gosh, or oh my God, what are you saying? I said, my son, Michael John, I used his middle name, McNamara, bought Hoffman and McNamara Company, Inc. from Hoff and I in 2004 and paid us off in 2011. Hoff and I have Hoffman and McNamara Partnership, which owns real estate. We have Hoffman and McNamara Foundation, and we're both trustees, and you need to get out of my office. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. I never want to see your face again. You are never welcome in this place. Get out. Get out. And I opened the door and backed up.
Representative McNamara, just to be clear, to whom were you speaking when you said this?
Mr. Rice.
Were you speaking to Representative Kahn when you made that statement?
Absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, I think I heard Representative Kahn say, does this mean me too? And Mr. LeBeau, I was so bewildered. I just backed my chair up 3 feet and waited. Mr. Rice walked out, and Representative Kahn followed him behind, and I slammed the door. And looked at Representative Smith, and actually I said, Dennis, I should quit. I should drop it. And he says, you can't drop it, Denny. Look what they're doing to you. I said, you're right. I'm not dropping it. I'm in for the long haul.
And Representative McNamara, did you learn after this meeting who had made the threat?
Later that same day, I ran into Representative Hausman as we recessed our conference committee in the Environment Committee, and ran into Representative Hausman, and I asked her if she remembered our conversation of about 5 weeks earlier. And she said, the first time I knew this, she said, you mean the one where Mary Ann Campbell told me that your son's landscape nursery business may not sell as many trees to the park board? And I had staff with me, and I said, you're not going to deny it, Alice? And I said, you're not throwing me under the bus? And she said, I've told my whole caucus a couple hours ago what happened.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. Madam Chair, if I may, I'll shift to Representative Smith now.
Mr. LeBeau, you have about 14 minutes remaining.
Okay, thank you. Representative Smith, where were you on May 16th?
Well, we had a floor session. When that concluded, I walked back to the the State Office Building.
And did you see Representative McNamara at this point in time after session?
I did, yes. Representative McNamara and Mr. Rice were speaking out in the hallway outside of the front door of the House chamber.
And what were they discussing?
Representative McNamara was, as I recall, saying things that you cannot threaten my family, and let's go back to my office and talk about it.
And after that, what happened?
Representative McNamara walked away and went back to his office, and I followed him.
And were you invited into a meeting after that?
I was. A few minutes later, Representative McNamara asked me to sit in on the meeting that was about to happen.
And do you understand what the issue what the meeting was concerning?
Well, my knowledge at the time was quite limited. Representative McNamara got me up to speed and said there was a provision in his omnibus bill that was going to change the funding formula for the Minneapolis Park Board that had been in existence for maybe a quarter of a century. And that carve-out was not welcomed by some, and those people that were not welcomed by were making threats to his family's business.
And who was in the meeting?
Mr. Rice, Representative Kahn, myself, and Representative McNamara.
And where did you sit?
I sat, if you think of a clock, at 9 o'clock, and Representative Kahn was to my right at 6 o'clock. Mr. Rice was next to her at, say, 4 o'clock, and then Representative McNamara was at 1 o'clock on that diagram.
And how did the conversation start?
It started out, Representative McNamara was asking questions about why they were doing this and why they were going after his family, and some questions of that nature.
Did Representative Kahn or Mr. Rice ask Representative McNamara any questions during the meeting?
They did. They asked him questions about, they seemed to be surprised that he was claiming that he was not part of the business or he did not own it anymore because of the statements already made that his name was on the truck, and his economic and interest statement clearly noted that he was a president of the operation. So they were asking questions of that nature.
And after they asked these questions, what happened?
The discussion went on for a short while, and then the discussion was quite passionate, And then Representative McNamara stood up and said to Mr. Rice to leave his office.
How would you describe Representative Kahn's involvement during the conversation between Representative McNamara and Mr. Rice?
I would describe it as really being quite limited. Initially, she was a part of the discussion, but I'd say the bulk of the conversation, the clear majority, was between Mr. Rice and Representative McNamara.
What was your impression of Representative McNamara's demeanor during the meeting?
He was, everyone who knows Representative McNamara, he can be passionate at times, and it was a passionate discussion. I think in order to appreciate that, you need to put it in context that he felt, on very good information, that his family was being threatened financially. He really, to a certain degree, felt that the integrity of this institution was being threatened by a lobbyist or a group of people who did not like a policy position, and they were using a financial family matter to try to change that policy.
Representative Smith, do you believe that any of his remarks were directed to Representative Kahn?
No.
And why do you think that?
Because he was looking at Mr. Rice almost exclusively, especially in the last two-thirds or 75% of the meeting. And when the conversation became more passionate, it was really a conversation between those two.
Representative Smith, based on your time in the legislature, have you heard conversations get loud?
I have. I mean, several instances. It's been said earlier today about conversations on the House floor when Speaker Dowd's gaveled out or in other debates, certainly in committees, in private conversations, and also in my 15-year experience as being an attorney, being in situations, conversations get loud sometimes. And this was one example of, and it did not seem too different to me from other conversations I've heard in this building or across the street.
Did Representative Kahn mention anything to you after the meeting?
She did. Yeah, she approached me and asked me what I thought of the meeting, and she thought that that she felt threatened, and she asked if what my view on that was. And I told her that I did not feel that there was any inkling of any sort of threat. And I thought, while she's up to her own thoughts on that, I was to her left and Mr. Rice was to her right, and there was a round, sizable table in front of her. So that never entered my mind at all in any capacity, and I told her that.
Thank you. Madam Chair, with your permission, I'll move to Representative Hausman.
You have five minutes remaining.
Thank you.
Oh, excuse me, 9 minutes.
Okay, I'll take it.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hausman, you're aware of the complaint in this matter. When did you first become aware of the what's been alluded to as the threat in this case?
I was approached in the a Capitol corridor by Marianne Campo, and she said, "I don't know why we would buy trees from his son's business anymore." I did not respond in any way. I thought that was a rather alarming statement. I think we must have been in session shortly after I asked Representative McNamara if he'd come into the retiring room, and I repeated that.
Representative Hausman, Representative Kahn alleges both in the complaint and through various news articles that the issue was Representative McNamara was dissatisfied with the amount of business going to his son. Is that consistent with what Representative McNamara has represented to you and the other information that you've obtained?
Well, that's not in keeping with that sentence. I was simply told in an isolated context, I don't know why we would buy trees from his son's business anymore. That was not related to any previous comment or any other context.
And after you heard this, what did you do?
I said nothing, I thought I would take it directly to Representative McNamara. That seemed like the appropriate thing to do.
Did you at any point mention this to anyone else?
I suspect I've talked to other people about that.
Can you tell me what's your involvement with the policy, with the standalone bill at the heart of this case?
I was the author. I wasn't the original author. Barbara Russo was the original author, and for some reason she removed her name as chief author. I was the second author, and that meant I was first author. Subsequently, that was included in Representative McNamara's committee bill. I didn't think that was unusual. I do that all the time in bonding bills. There are lots of standalone bills, and I may then write my bill and take what are individual bills that have been introduced. And where they get a hearing is when I bring my bill to my committee. And that's what happened to that provision. Representative McNamara brought his committee bill to his committee. That's where we heard it, and that's where we took testimony.
Moving forward from the conversation that you had with Representative McNamara on April 10th, you understand what's been alleged in the complaint, what's been in news articles concerning whether or not Representative McNamara was dissatisfied with the business that his son's company was getting. Is that consistent with your understanding of what was alleged?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but what I sensed was that somehow that whole issue had gotten flipped, that some people were suggesting that he was the one who said, you have to buy more trees, rather than that the lobbyist said, I don't know why we would buy any more trees from his son's business. So in the, you know, it's sort of like the game that you played when you were little, where you whisper in somebody, and there's this long line of people, and everyone whispers in everybody else's ear, and what comes out at the other end is so different from what actually happened. I sensed in some of the news coverage that was happening.
Representative Hausman, in the time that you've been in, that you've served in the legislature, is it fair to say that you've heard a lot of yelling?
Well, regrettably, I think we are a body with a lot of emotion and a lot at stake, and so I have heard yelling, I've seen crying, I have heard doors slammed, so I suspect we are a relatively emotional group, but hopefully at the end of the day, put that to good purpose.
I have no further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lebeau. Now, committee members, it is time for us to ask the respondent and witnesses questions. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hausman, when you first heard why we would continue to buy trees, did you know what they were talking about and did you know immediately who we are?
Yes.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes. It was in the context of our ongoing conversation with the Minneapolis Park Board lobbyists on this particular issue.
Okay.
It was sort of a session long.
And the session. was
the
Minneapolis
Park
Board.
Correct.
Okay.
Representative Murphy.
And Madam Chair, is Representative Hausman, was the lobbyist part of the decision making process of the park board in who they hire as their vendors?
That I don't know, other than the statement was, I don't know why we would continue to buy trees from his son's business. So I cannot speak to the business of the park board beyond that.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Speaker, Madam Chair, Representative Smith, do you recall, you kind of said, but I don't understand when it happened, that Representative Kahn talked to you. Was that when the door was still closed or the door was being opened, that Representative Kahn talked to you and indicated that this was a scary place?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative, it was about 10 minutes later in a different office.
Okay. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative McNamara, I know time has passed. And today you're much calmer than you might be in May. Could you replicate the tone or the timbre of your voice when you were saying your last two phrases?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Murphy, if you're asking me if I'm willing to do it right now, I'd rather not.
In your mind, do you remember it?
Absolutely.
And the tone and the loudness of it?
Representative McNamara.
Madam Chair and Representative Murphy, it was extremely loud.
Thank you.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hausman, my question to you is, in your statement, you had mentioned the comments that were made by Ms. Campo. So did she just walk up to you and just make that statement and walk away, or was there a preceding conversation that led to that statement?
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had an ongoing conversation throughout the session, and almost every time that she would see me in the hallway, we would there would be an attempt to engage in this issue. This was an issue that that was an ongoing conversation, I would say.
Representative Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative Hausman, so I'm assuming that the conversation prior to those comments were somehow related to the current appropriation for the North Regional Park.
To the bill.
Representative Hausman.
Yes. To the bill.
Okay. Okay. I've got a couple other questions, Madam Chair, and Representative McNamara, this is going to be hard because this is an emotional situation, and I realize this is dealing with some family issues and things like that. So I'll try to be somewhat sensitive to them, and some of these may just be factual questions. So with the real estate company, do you grow trees on that at all?
The real estate company just owns land. It's
just
not
owns land, so there's no trees associated with that.
The real estate company owns multiple different properties around Minnesota and other places.
Okay, Madam Chair, so follow-up. So do you at all sell trees from the Hoffman and McNamara LLP to what is now your son's company, McNamara Company?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, we're just a real estate company. We lease the property. We're not involved in operations. We don't have any employees. We don't do any operations.
Representative Dean.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess my question is, do you lease to individuals who might grow trees on that property that then sell to your son's landscape company?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, let me think. We have formal and informal leases with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different property operators that I can think of that Hoff and I own land on that we have either formal or informal lease arrangements with.
Representative Dean?
Okay.
Madam Chair, and that's in the state of Minnesota.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So you had mentioned that you sold interest in the company to your son, was it 2004 initially?
Only
Representative
once.
McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Only once, and it was in March of 2004.
Okay, and that was a complete sale. There was no ongoing payments to you or to the LLP future based on profits or any of those types of operations. It was a straight, clean sale.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, the company was sold to Hoff and I individually. It was not sold to our partnership. And as the public record states on my economic interest statement of 2004, I inquired into the campaign finance board to ask them how I was supposed to report the monthly payments that Lynn and I, my wife, received from Michael John McNamara as payments for the next 7 years in the payments to Hoff and I. It did not involve the partnership. We owned the business as individuals, and we were paid individual checks from Michael John McNamara to Hoff got his at his house, I got mine at my house.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in 2011, the I don't want to say transfer, but the sale of the landscape company was complete at that time.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, we did some kind of a formal legal document in March of 11 that culminated the transaction. I remember going back to the lawyer's office at the end of 7 years and whatever that transaction would be called. I'm not sure exactly what, but it was the end. We got our 84 payments, and it was over 12, 7 times 12.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. A couple other quick
Representative
questions.
Representative Dean, go ahead.
Madam Chair, so Representative Murphy asked you about the loudness or the timbre of your voice. I guess a couple questions. Have you ever been that angrier at another legislator in the time that you've been here?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, I was not mad at Representative Kahn. I never had a conversation with Representative Kahn. Mr. Rice accused me of being the president of Hoffman and McNamara Company. He blatantly said, "Why are you hiding that you're the president?" I said to him, "Mr. Rice, who you said you're the attorney for the park board for 30 years. Who has signed the documents for the last 11 years as a president of the company?" He refused to answer the question. They had a witch hunt on my family. I picked up my daughter that morning, my granddaughter at 8:30 to bring her to church. I started bawling like a little baby just to see him. I had to tell my son Brian, "They went after you last night. They went after you and Mike and accused me of saying they needed to sell more trees to Hoffman and McNamara Company or I would pursue this legislation," when they had threatened my family over it. You can't imagine how I felt. And then he accused me of being president of the company and hiding it and told me he was the park board attorney for 30 years. Are you serious? You don't know the difference between LLP and the words partnership and partner checked on an economic interest form and the company? Go back and look at my 2002. This is the most embarrassing witch hunt. This is an attack on 201 legislators, that we can't be citizen legislators and have our families and business outside of this place. I have never, last night was the first good night's sleep I've had in 3 weeks, because I was at peace knowing when I come here, the truth will come out. There'll be no more lies in the paper about what happened. The truth is now known because people spoke up and said the truth. This has been an unbelievable witch hunt. Can you imagine what my grandkids and children will need to look back on my 14-year legislative career if it was end today? This is the first serious ethics complaint that I know of since 2003. I thought this was going to be the low point of my career to be sitting here. And thank God for the two honest people sitting on both sides of me, that neither one of them threw me under the bus. This place is supposed to be about integrity, honesty, and truthfulness. And as I told Speaker Thiessen, you've been in the legislature for 13 years with me. There is no way. I haven't slept with any women. I haven't stole any money. I came here making a heck of a lot more than $31,140. And I'll be doggone if I'll have somebody attack me, my family. What a witch hunt. What an unbelievable experience to put somebody through. I hope no one ever has to experience what I did. When I looked at Elena, my 6-year-old granddaughter, who came here to committee and sat next to me, and I started bawling, and she was afraid to get in the car for me to bring her to Sunday school. Why is Grandpa crying? All I could tell my son is they went after you guys last night, and I stopped them. They didn't succeed. $300,000, it's 1/1000th of 1% of the state budget. This is what they were willing to do to me over that. And now they want to deny it and pretend that Representative Hausman made the story up. How could she make up a story that my son Mike's landscape company sells trees to the park board for low bid? For low bid. It's publicly open and low bid. This is the most embarrassing situation for someone to have to go through. I have been so proud to represent my community, and the only thing I'll say, if you want to hear the truth, read the Hastings paper from June 11th, because Craig Richardson investigated. He called Representative Hausman. He called Representative Smith. He didn't write an article with only talking to one person. He wrote an honest article that had got to the truth, and that's what we have now. We have the truth, and I'm vindicated no matter what happens today, because it's on the public tape forever and ever and ever that I did nothing wrong. As Representative Purcell said, I said get out to a lobbyist and told him to never, ever, 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 ever come back, because there is no way I will have anything to do with him to think that they would go on a witch hunt to ask me, why is your name on the truck? All I could think about is they got the park board police driving around Minneapolis to see what Mike and Brian are doing, or to poor Pete Hoffman. My son now has had to admit that he owns 100% of Hoffman and McNamara Company. And my other son, Brian, doesn't own any of it. And Pete's son, Peter, Hoff's son, Peter, doesn't own any of it. And that's all public now. Why? Because somebody cared about an earmark for a North Minneapolis Metro Park that, truthfully, you can argue that policy for or against it. We should do that, as Representative Hillstrom wanted to do. And it was over. Representative Hillstrom came to me and said, Denny, I hope you'll work with me to properly fund that park. I said, I sure will. Thanks for the question.
Representative Dean.
Just one last question, Madam Chair. Thank you. So the complaint has to do with Representative Kahn feeling threatened, and I think that you've made it somewhat clear that it was a pretty contentious moment in your office. Have you ever had any other contentious moments while you've been in the legislature in meetings that ultimately have other individuals come to you and say, this was inappropriate, you should not be doing this?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have never, ever, ever had a situation like that. They actually threatened my family. They threatened my family. I was just, all I could think of was when Representative Kahn said, why is the name on the trucks? And I thought, does she think it says Denny McNamara on the truck? Does she know the red trucks say Hoffman and McNamara? Hoff and I bought the business from his uncle Jim. Thank you, Jim, for selling it to us in May of 1977. Hoffman is on the truck because of Jim, Gary, and Pete. And it says McNamara because of Denny McNamara, Michael John McNamara, and Brian McNamara. And I hope someday it says it for Elena or Luke or Hoff's granddaughter. And to put that into perspective and think that is where we were at, we want, and then to accuse me of being the president of the company and to say you're the park board lobbyist, and he was the park board attorney for 30 years. And he was accusing me of being the president. And then when I said, who signed it for 11 years? He didn't even answer. So I kicked him out of my office. Really? You attack my family? I got visions of the park board police driving around. And I'm supposed to be nice and say, oh, okay, Mr. Rice, seems reasonable. How about a little investigation and know what a company and a partnership are? And then at least have the decency. Neither one of them could even answer the question after they did the witch hunt. Representative Kahn never answered Representative Smith of why my name was on the trucks and saying, can you elaborate? Why did she ask that question? Why was she involved in that discussion? What kind of a witch hunt was after my family? I would love to know the meetings that took place. Maybe I do know something. That was the quote from Representative Kahn that's substantiated by a witness. Maybe I do know something.
Representative Dean.
Madam Chair, and just you kind of answered the question, but you didn't. And I understand the accusation towards your family, but my question was, have you ever been in a situation that there's been some repercussions? Have you been asked to leave a meeting because you seem like a passionate guy. Have you ever been asked to leave a meeting that you may have been involved with because of a heightening sort of emotion? I'll use it that way.
Representative McNamara.
I don't remember ever being asked to leave a meeting in a legislator's office.
Representative Dean.
Again, Madam Chair, I'm not asking if specifically to an office. And if you'd like, I can ask you about a specific meeting that may have involved the steering committee of the caucus that you might have been asked to leave because of an outburst towards another member.
Representative McNamara.
I actually don't know what you're talking about, but if you want to elaborate, maybe it'll refresh my memory.
My understanding is there was a meeting that there was outbursts towards, maybe not directed 100% towards one of your fellow colleagues, Representative Treskowski, and you were asked to leave the meeting at that time.
Representative McNamara.
I actually don't remember that incident. Representative Draskowski served in, and I think served on steering for a time. I don't remember it. Sorry.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions by members? Representative McNamara, in Representative Kahn's complaint, which is written in the third person, which I find most interesting because it's as though it's come through a third party, but in that statement, it says that you became incredibly agitated and accused Representative Kahn and Mr. Rice of being deceitful and conniving. Could you tell us whether or not you directed that statement also to Representative Kahn?
I don't believe I ever had any conversation directly with Representative Kahn, Madam Chair.
Representative Smith. Thank you, Representative McNamara. We heard Representative Kahn say that, you know, they were kicked out of the office, so to speak. Did she ask you or Representative McNamara whether that included her? Representative McNamara, you wanted to address something?
Madam Chair, I may have one time said what kind of a what's going on here? What do you have going on? And that could have been construed to be to both people. I've got to be honest. That would be the one time, and it would have been, and I don't remember that I said that, but I could have said, when I said you, I could have been referencing to both of them after the truck comment by Representative Kahn.
Sure, because you is a plural pronoun, or can be as well. Representative McNamara, before I turn to Representative Smith, did you make eye contact with Representative Kahn during this conversation that it sounds like you were having with Mr. Rice?
Madam Chair, the only eye contact I remember with Representative Kahn is when I pushed my chair back after she made the truck comment, and I thought, what's going on? And I just waited for a while, and then Representative Smith asked a question. Other than that, Mr. Rice took the lead in the conversation and made his accusations after that. And so my conversation and eye contact and body language directed at him.
And so I'll just continue with you, Representative McNamara. So when you asked them to leave your office, you were making eye contact with whom?
Madam Chair, I asked Mr. Rice to leave because I remember, and I don't know that it got answered by either Representative Smith or myself. I remember Representative Kahn asking, am I supposed to leave? And all I did was wait, hold the door open. I don't believe that ever got answered. She did follow Mr. Rice out.
So that was my question to you, Representative Smith. Did you hear Representative Kahn ask if that included her?
I did, yes.
Are there other questions from members? Then we will move to closing statements by the complaints, and you have up to 15 minutes. Thank you very much, yes. Representative McNamara, Representative Hausman, Representative Smith. Councilwoman or Council Breen, are you going to make this or is Representative Kahn?
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn is going to speak.
Representative Kahn, please proceed with your closing statement. You have up to 15 minutes.
Madam Chairman, first of all, I want to thank all the committee members for listening and for the attention that they have paid to this.
Be sure you speak into the microphone, Representative Kahn. Thank you.
I want to thank all the committee members for their attentive listening and staff and for their attention that they're paying to this. Obviously, I regarded this as a very serious matter. I clearly felt that the anger and the irritation in Representative McNamara's voice was clearly directed at me, too. I guess the one thing I think
Representative Smith maybe described us as sitting further apart. I think I was sitting a little bit closer to Mr. Rice than that, and so something directed at him was not obviously excluding me. I want to emphasize again that the issue of the park board and the tree buying and so forth is all background material. My complaint specifically relates to the treatment in Representative McNamara's office and the tone of his voice. And I stand by the statement that I made, you know, again, under oath in my statement, that I have never felt so threatened or domineered by a legislator in 43 years in the legislature. I've never seen such specific anger that I felt just from the direction of his voice and from the fact that we were sitting together in his office, that it was specifically directed at me. And that's what my issue is about. My issue is not about the issue of the truth of selling and the truth of threats and so forth. My issue is about the specific actions and the specific tone of voice of Representative McNamara in his office at that time, and the refusal in the future to even do something somewhat decent, like apologize for it. And so specifically, and the reason I brought this complaint is that I do not think this is appropriate behavior to have in the legislature, and an ethics complaint seemed to be the only way to move, because it seemed in complete violation. Again, I presented before you in the complaint the statement of the rule that we're dealing, the statement, the sentence in Rule 6.10, and also the code of behavior. I do not think this is the way a legislator should treat another legislator.
Does that conclude your closing?
Yes, I believe it does.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. We will now hear a closing statement by the respondent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I don't know that I can summarize the facts any better than Representative McNamara did, as he concluded his testimony and in response to the questions that were asked. I would say that there are a few things that the committee needs to consider. First of all, that the standard in this case, the burden of proof is on the complainant. It's not on Representative McNamara. And the burden of proof is that they need to show that the facts support that there is, the facts support the reasonable conclusion that further investigation is warranted. I think the undisputed facts in this case show that it simply is not. There were four people in the meeting that occurred. You heard from two of them whose statements were consistent. You heard from one other, and the other, who is named in the complaint, is noticeably absent. The larger issue that may be at play here that I alluded to earlier, and as Representative Purcell mentioned in his testimony, he frankly doesn't have the requisite amount of personal direct knowledge that makes it sufficient for him to be able to sign a complaint. And the Ethics Committee needs to decide if that level of knowledge is sufficient, then there's going to be an awful lot of ethics hearings. And additionally, if this complaint is allowed to go forward based on just the facts as alleged, because somebody acted reasonably under the circumstances, then there's going to be a lot of ethics complaints that are going to be filed because people got loud at the legislature because there was a heated argument. You can't uncouple the facts of what led to the meeting on May 16th from everything that preceded it. The facts that preceded May 16th directly resulted in the meeting that occurred. And frankly, the response, the comments that were made, as have been testified to directly by Representative McNamara, supported by Representative Smith, had nothing to do with Representative Kahn. They were not directed at her in any way. to allow this complaint to go forward simply invites more complaints of a similar nature that do not rise to the level of a violation of the House Code of Conduct policy or a violation of Rule 6.10. Only Representative McNamara has produced witnesses that corroborate his recitation of the facts, and only he has produced witnesses that actually saw and heard what occurred before and during the events of May 16th. In short, Representative McNamara's family was threatened. His position was grossly mischaracterized. His reputation was impugned. And the basic operation and integrity of the Minnesota House of Representatives was jeopardized. Finding probable cause in this case turns the ethics code and the ethics policy on its head. To be clear, it appears that a violation may have occurred in this case, but it absolutely had nothing to do with the actions of Representative McNamara. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. LeBeau, and thank you, complainants and respondents, for your presence today and for your presentations. Committee, it's now time for us to deliberate as to whether or not to move to find probable cause. I will entertain any discussion that you might want to have us have. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we have counsel define what is probable cause in this situation? Because we're not doing, you know, beyond a preponderance and all those type of things. I would just like some clarification.
Thank you. Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the standard that the committee's rules set out is that you need to find that the allegations contained in the complaint are more probably true than not, and that if true, tend to lend support to the disciplinary action. So I don't think there's a lot that can be that I can add to that beyond the it's sort of a, you believe that it's more probable means more than you know, there's some basis that you can conclude that more likely, I guess, than not, that there's a basis for further investigation. The standard for actually finding a violation is a higher standard, but that's what it's required is more probably than not.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess the question before us is relative to the complaint. And the complaint was that Representative Kahn felt threatened. I would say that we've had testimony that there was loud language used. There were orders being made for individuals to leave the room. The discerning the difference between Brian Rice and Phyllis Kahn, you know, given where they're sitting in the room, clearly the intent of Representative McNamara may have been directed completely at Brian Rice, but the question of the complaint is that Representative Kahn felt threatened. And I would conclude that given the situation, albeit it's been stated here today that the intent was directed totally at Brian Rice, I would conclude that it's more true than not that Representative Kahn did feel threatened by the actions in the office that day.
Further discussion? Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm rather concerned that the way this process unfolded here today, I understand what the complaint was, but to me it seems like the majority of whether it was press coverage or line of questioning seemed to deal with more the business affairs of Mr. McNamara and the underlying issues around there, where the ethics complaint was supposed to be all about how someone felt in a meeting. And as we listened to testimony from three of the individuals who were in the room,
and even the statement that Representative Kahn had to ask if the yelling of get out meant her as well, it really just seems strange to me that if you were that threatened, that you would have to ask whether that pertained to you. And so I am more concerned, though, about I've been on the Ethics Committee for a number of years now, and nothing has ever been utilized or come to this Ethics Committee because we have taken it so seriously. Because when an ethics complaint is filed, that's the way we're supposed to treat that. And yet, as we listen to the facts unfold and we listen to the story unfold, this turned out to be something more than just the meeting about passionate discussions, how we all get. We talked about on the House floor at the end of session this year, there was more yelling than Mr. McNamara ever could have done in his office. We, as Representative Hausman said, we are very passionate about what we do, and we take serving our communities very serious. So in that regard, I understand that there may have been a passionate discussion, but when Representative Kahn has to ask if get out means her, I don't understand where that would suggest being threatened. Those are my comments, Madam Chair, and when appropriate, I would like to move that we vote to find probable cause.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Would you like to place that motion right now?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would move that we vote to find probable cause at this time.
Representative Kelly moves to find probable cause. Any further discussion? There will be a roll call.
Madam Chair?
No further discussion. We'll proceed with the vote.
Madam Chair?
No.
Murphy? Representative Mary Murphy?
I moved recess.
That's not a higher motion. Than this vote, in the middle of the vote. You know, Representative Murphy, we have another motion on the table because we're voting, so. Unless Representative Kelly withdraws his motion. House Counsel, would you like to entertain a comment on whether or not we're caught?
Madam Chair, members, we're in the middle of a roll call, and custom is that we continue the roll call.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Yes.
Dean.
Yes.
Kelly.
No.
Murphy.
Representative Murphy, you do not have to cast a vote if you prefer. The roll call has been completed, and the motion does not prevail in that there are two nays and one aye. The motion does not prevail, and probable cause is not found. And members, stay tuned in case we have other ethics hearings, but this meeting is adjourned.